This is Brock and Saul.
Brock Heward and Marcus. Sorry about just
Mike.
On Seattle Sports.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
You were not exactly Joe Cap there in the pocket.
Presented by Simply Seattle.
Now here are your hosts, Brock Heward and Mike Saul.
Today is the day at long last. Today is the day. The Seahawks finally, like the Rock, finally make good on all the talk. Finally make good on being a physical team, finally take a step towards dominating the line of scrimmage and winning the battles up front. If you want to do that, and they say they want to do that, you know what you have to do? Actually try to do that. You actually have to try to, you know, draft players that do the thing you say you want to be good at. So, Brock, if you want to be great on the line of scrimmage, you know what you got to do today?
Take Terrion Arnold, cornerback, Alabama.
Don't do that.
Number 16, like Daniel Jeremiah just mocked.
Your pal DJ got under my skin. We're going to do a whole bunch of mock draft stuff coming up at 7:30. I'm going to run through a bunch of these, and I'm going to make some serious fun of DJ. But beyond that, Brock, you know what you got to do? You got to draft big people to play up front.
Yes, you do.
And today's your chance to do that.
Yes, there is. And this draft is loaded. I was thinking on my drive in this morning, how many man hours do you think we have spent? We asked Klatt that question. How many hours have we spent thinking about the draft?
I've spent upwards of two.
Editing draft profiles in the back room back there. You know, digging through stuff, watching stuff, listening as to how many. Is there another singular topic in our calendar year? Honest to God. In our calendar year, that we spend as much time leading and building up to that. I mean, spring training's close. We're down there a whole week, and almost every hour of those shows are interviews, and we're watching, and we're talking, and we're at the games, and we're having a blast. But, you know, and then there's a lot of time in the offseason with the moves and free agency and trades. And I mean, I would say probably the opening day of the baseball season.
Yeah.
Just because football stretches across the whole calendar year, but this one? Like, the lead-up to the draft is so many hours. And then multiply that times 100x for every one of these organizations. And all the planning, I think what we get lost in is we think, here's what John Schneider's going to do. And I know we're going to talk about here in just a second. We will. Like, okay, this, and he's so, like, hyper-focused on what he wants. The key is he's got to know what the rest of the market wants. Right? I mean, he's got to know, and his people have got to know. You know, I'm sure not too different than – when, and I hate to compare this to war and those things, but when folks are preparing for battle, like how is this country, how is their military, how are they equipped, how are they going to scheme, what have they done in the past, like all of those factors that go into not just knowing what we want in studying these prospects, but knowing what 31 other teams are likely going to do, Salk, so we can be the absolute most prepared when number 16 comes around.
Well, there's a texter here, 253, says, I'm looking forward to the draft, obviously, but honestly, I think I'm more excited for the big race.
Yes. The big race.
Oh, the big race. Yes.
Who can blame you? Yes, there's a lot of reasons to be excited. It will be later this morning. Moore and I are totally ready.
The race is on.
That's right. Later today, the race will be on. You know what they're going to be saying about me later, Brock?
What's that?
He's a freak. He's a fast killer.
That's what they'll be saying later on today.
What do we got? Nine breaks. I got nine different stretches. I was studying this last night.
Hammy stretches?
Oh, no. Hammy? We got to get your glute. Got to get your calf. Got to get your posterior chains.
I'm not as worried about those things. I'm mostly worried about my hamstring.
We got to get your groin. We got to get your quad. We got to get your Achilles. I got nine different stretches.
I'm going to do it right here.
I brought my yoga mat for you. You're going to lay down right here.
Oh, good.
I'm going to get you ready.
All right. Well, I wore some stretchy pants, so I should be all set. Brock, you know what they need to do today? They need to draft an offensive lineman in round one. And I know I've said I want Jared Verse, and I do. Like, if they go with Jared Verse in round one, I'll be psyched. I think that's a fantastic pick, and I think he's going to be a really good NFL player. I'll be super pumped if they go with Jared Verse.
Yep.
I'll be most excited if they go with Michael Penix, because, as I said earlier, I think as a fan, you're morally and legally obligated to be excited if your team drafts a quarterback in the first round.
Yep.
But what they really should do, what they really need to do, they need to draft an offensive lineman. You just have to. And you know what? You can get a Tavondre Sweat later. They do, you know, he could slide to them in the third round and kind of spot where they would be, and that would help make you better up front. And there's other things you can do to try to help your defense. I want them to, like, I really do. I think Verse is my favorite player in this draft.
Yep.
But you really do need an offensive line.
Yeah, who was it? Was it Dominic? It wasn't Dominic. It was one of our guys we've talked to here over the last few weeks, Salk, that compared, maybe it was Klatt, that compared a Fautanu to the All-Pro down in Dallas, who was a tackle in college.
Zach Martin,
who slid in to play guard. And I'm curious over the years why, well, I know why, because tackles want to be tackles. I'm a tackle. Right, and I'm in some cases like Orlando Brown. I'm a left tackle. Mm-hmm. Don't play me a right tackle. My money is here.
Darn right.
You know that's where you get paid in this league. A little different now with a few more lefties coming in between right tackle and left tackle. And I think it was Joel, and you'll hear others say this. And I'm sure tonight, like you got to block everybody. Part of the reason that these guards got paid what they've gotten paid, Roger down in Tacoma, including Damian Lewis, is because you got to block. Like if you got one weak link, teams are going to move people around. They're going to expose you. So what I'm curious about tonight, and maybe for the Seahawks and a few of these teams, is these guys have been tackles in college, right? And in a few of our 9 o'clock hour, we're going to do this rapid fire. Or a few of these guys that have been tackles in college. Well, can they slide in and play guard?
Well, so that's been the thing about Fautanu, and I'm going to play you the sound from when he was on with us. But I first want to just ask you this question, because we've spent so much time talking about him. I can't believe I'd never asked this, but it did jump out to me yesterday.
Been waiting for 3 months for you to ask me.
Because Penix is a lefty?
Yes.
Does that take anything away from the fact that he played left tackle for all that time and that really it was Rosengarten who was the better tackle?
Not necessarily.
Okay.
Not necessarily, but it does, for Roger Rosengarten, give people that opportunity to be like, well, hold
so
on
it helps
second.
Rosengarten, but it doesn't hurt Fautanu?
Yeah, because he's played guard and tackle.
I love you. I love the way you view the Huskies.
Yeah.
It helps here, but it doesn't hurt there.
No, I don't.
You just don't have a good zero-sum game
look,
when it comes
I'm wearing
to your view.
Today. Look at it. Yeah. Today is purple day,
this
too.
Guy left and it wasn't a problem, but when he came, it was the greatest thing
not
of all time.
Always the truth.
Yes, it is. Maybe, that's how you view the Huskies.
Maybe in naivete when I started this job many years ago. So I'll give you some of that.
So
all right? I'll give you some of that.
It helps Rosengarten, but it doesn't hurt Fautanu.
I mean, it may hurt Fautanu. It may. But remember, Big Ray's listening right now. He's yelling at you, right, Salk? Because,
that wouldn't be a first.
You know, he's playing the left side. He's got a kick like a left tackle. He's got a punch like a left tackle.
Makes
he's got to do all the things like a left tackle. It doesn't matter that the QB is
on the
right-handed.
Well, we did ask him, hey, why are you open to the idea of playing guard? Because, you know, it would make sense from a personal standpoint to say, no, I'm a tackle, and that's where I'm going to make my money. We asked him about it.
I said, I'm just trying to compete wherever that is. And at the end of the day, I do think I'm a tackle. Like, I've heard that a lot. I've heard both. I've heard more tackle than anything. But, you know, there's, like I said before, there's guys in this NFL, in the NFL that are like, have been around for a while. So, you know, you got to be realistic sometimes and get in where you fit in. So, I'm just excited for an opportunity. You know what I mean? Like, this is like, it's crazy to think that this is now a career. This is like my job. So, you know, wherever they're paying me to play, I'm going to play and I'm going to play it to my fullest, capability. So,
sorry, I just burned the ever-living you-know-what out of my tongue.
I'm a little concerned.
Ow. Way too hot.
Are you looking for excuses early?
Can't make it. Tongue is injured. I have an injured tongue. I will not be racing today.
I saw Maura out there. I was wondering why she was sneaking past the coffee maker. She cranked that
thing
up.
Cry, Grandma.
Oh, my gosh.
By the way, he's the one, he brought me a coffee, so I was worried it was sabotage. So he can't blame me.
Right.
Whatever he just did is.
Right.
That hurts so much. Oh, my God. That was way too hot.
You think you really want to peak caffeine-wise 4 hours before? What's
I'm just
your
trying to make it through the day.
You, huh?
I'm just trying to make it through the day. Well, I'm not going to be drinking the rest of that. My tongue is now not going to work.
I'm going to get in where I fit in.
Right.
I don't really care where they put me. If I'm a top 15 pick, I don't really care. Some of these labels of the past, now the franchise tags still represent payment, right? So these agents are going to say, hey, man, you could talk all you want on these airwaves. These coaches can talk all they want about being positionless and being hybrid players and looking for this. These franchise tags, they still pay what this position plays.
Right.
You know, plays and pays. So I don't think he cares getting in the door, but eventually he may care.
Well, and he may think to himself, oh, I'll get in the door, and in another year, Abe Lucas is not going to be here or playing tackle anymore because he's got a knee issue
that's
not getting better anytime soon.
That's
so,
exactly right.
Yeah, it's today is a fascinating day, but it is their first opportunity to really do what they say they want to do. Mike McDonald says he wants to be physical, says he wants to build it from the line of scrimmage out. Great, go prove it. Go take guys that are on the line of scrimmage, not cornerbacks, not safeties, not wide receivers. Go get guys that play on the line of scrimmage and make you better and make everyone else around you better. Today is their first shot to do that.
need to know.
15 minutes past every hour with Brock and Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
Oh, it's draft day. It really is. Finally, after all the talk, after all the discussion, we will get a chance to see what the Seahawks' future will look like tonight. They're set to pick at 16. Could they trade up? Probably not. They just don't really have the resources to do it. But there are going to be a lot of good options available for them there. They could certainly move to trade back if somebody else is interested in that pick. I hope they draft Jared Verse. He really is my favorite person in this draft that could be available to them. Rugged, tough, physical leader who sets an edge, rushes the passer. That would be too enticing for me to say no to. But what should they do? They should probably draft Troy Faltano. They know the hit rate is high. That really jumped out to me yesterday, that stat that offensive linemen have the best hit rate percentage of any position in the draft in the first round. It's what they need. Mm-hmm. They've got a really good player who they're very familiar with, who should be available to them. Gosh, that really sure seems like the move.
Yeah, because those guys, as we've known over 14 years as well, guess what? They don't grow on trees. Guys that are 6'4", 320 pounds, move great, bend great, tremendous athleticism, they just don't come around every year. Mm-hmm. There are some drafts where you just don't have big people. There are some, well, like this one, that you have a lot. My DJ said yesterday, Daniel Jeremiah, one of his final tweets was, man, talk to six people in the NFL, all six are like, tackle, tackle, tackle. Because as much as it's quarterback, 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 it is protecting the quarterback, quarterback, quarterback. Remember, what was it, 58 QBs started the game last year in the NFL? Almost two per team started, including here in Seattle. Because these QBs still, you can protect them all you want. It is still violent. They still get punished. They still get damaged. And you still need people up front of them making them look good.
Well, all that being said, and we can talk about what they do at 16 till we're blue in the face, they probably won't pick at 16. The odds are always that they move back. Tom Pelissero on yesterday with Rich Eisen.
I would say I'd put the over-under. This is not betting advice, just to make abundantly clear here. One and a half trades in the top 10. I don't think it's going to be completely wild five trades and, you know, Monty going up and back like he did last year, just because, you know, there's a bunch of teams that it seems would like to trade up and make sure they get an offensive lineman. There's a whole bunch of offensive linemen, six, seven guys that are going to go in round one in this draft. You've got a bunch of teams that are interested in the corners. I'm just not sure that those guys get pushed up into the top half of round one. And there's a whole bunch of teams that would love to trade down. The Cardinals have been open to it. The Chargers would love to trade down from five. The Broncos at 12 would love to trade down. There's some GMs like, you know, Seattle with John Schneider, who every year the Seahawks seem to trade down. They're sitting there at number 16. They could be a candidate to trade down as well.
Like, the one sentiment that I have felt the most leading up to now, we're hours, not days away. And Mark Dominic said this the other day. It's a sentiment I've heard from a number of these people talking to on, off the air, is don't screw around with the quarterback. Mm-hmm. If you feel like that guy is there, take the swing. Take the swing.
Where'd you hear that?
Mark Dominic.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That was nice of Mark to tell you. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Anyone else say that to you the last week?
Don't get too cute with quarterbacks.
Interesting. What a weird take. I wonder where that one came from.
Here's the second thing you need
like always,
know.
I just like to agree with Brock. He said, don't get too cute with the quarterback and just take him when you have the chance. All right, not the night anyone was looking for in Texas.
Oh, you were saying if Penix was at 16, I got you. No, these are before 16.
I'm just saying, don't get cute with your quarterback. If you believe that you have a guy that you think is a franchise guy, you take him. Mm-hmm. You don't mess around and hope that he falls to you. Rangers teed off last night. Wasn't a very good game. Mariner offense basically took the night off. Bryce Miller didn't make it out of the fifth inning. Gave up a couple of solo shots. He just wasn't at his best.
Yeah, it was, probably felt like every inning was like 20 minutes long. just threw too many pitches. You know, I got into a lot of deep counts. The four walks doesn't help, but I was fine with the first one to Seager, but like, I just got to be more competitive, especially the last one to Simeon. Try to get us through five, but I think, I don't know, it was a weird game.
I was going to say, Brock, he sounds like a golfer describing his match, right? Like, just very honest. Like, yeah, I was okay with the first walk. The next walk was terrible. This was great. This was bad.
It's the beauty of golf. I struck it really great. Yeah. I mean, I can't strike any better than that. I didn't roll it well. I didn't putt quite well. I know it's only been two games, Salky, but that Texas bullpen is not as bad as they were last year.
Yeah, they look better.
Yeah, they were bad last year. You felt like if you could get to their bullpen, and, you know, we did have a Justin yesterday. We did run that guy out of the game. But, man, last couple days, the bullpen have been the one that really have silenced the Mariners' bats.
Yeah, unfortunately, they didn't do much of anything. 14 strikeouts, 1 for 11 with runners in scoring position. That's not going to get it done.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
Now you got a couple injury concerns. One doesn't seem too bad. Cal Raleigh, it's easy for me to say. Cal Raleigh missed last night's game after he had emergency dental surgery, which does not sound fun, but hopefully we'll just be there and gone and you kind of move past it. He should be back in the lineup today. For J.P. Crawford, though, maybe a little bit more concerning. Scratched right before the game after warm-ups with a sore right oblique. Here's what Scott said after the game. Hold on. There we go. There it is.
Yeah, we don't know yet. We'll find out more in the morning where that's at. It's, he felt something in batting practice right away. Tried to calm it down. The strength was good and stuff, but we don't know yet. We've got to get MRI. Take a look at that. Yeah. We'll know more in the morning.
Obliques linger. Yeah. That's another lingering injury.
My best practice I ever had as an Indianapolis Colt. Didn't have a lot of them. Didn't have a lot of opportunities. Best one I had a wisdom tooth. I still have 3 of my 4 wisdom teeth, by the way.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I had to keep my wisdom in there.
Explains a lot.
Yeah, sure does. My girls both have had theirs out. Molly's had theirs out. Just whatever. I've kept my wisdom in except for one. And it was bothering me so bad, I had to go get it pulled out like on a Wednesday. And so then Thursday, practiced on hydrocodone, the best I ever practiced. I had never really taken that stuff. And I was like, man, I am feeling good. No wonder
Oxycodone? What's hydrocodone?
No, Vicodin. It was Vicodin. Yeah, I think that's hydrocodone, Oxycontin.
Okay, maybe it
Oxycontin, hydrocodone. I don't know. Whatever it was, I was like, woo. Yeah, what you want, Tom?
I mean, it worked for 4 of all those years. Why wouldn't it work for you?
Dice right, scare right.
All right. Anyway, we'll see what happens with JP, but don't like that at all. And then I'll just throw this out there as we wait to find out what's going to happen with Dave Hackstall. Elliot Friedman, Sportsnet, said this about the Kraken coaching situation.
You want to know what my theory is?
Okay, what's that?
My theory is they're thinking about Dan Bylsma.
Who coaches in Coachella Valley, the AHL affiliate for the Seattle Kraken.
That's my theory.
You're going to have a lot of players from Coachella Valley start to populate that Kraken roster.
That's what I'm wondering, and it's my opinion, it's my theory, and also there is a connection. Jason Botterill,
yep.
Pittsburgh Penguins. Dan Bylsma, Pittsburgh Penguins. I could be wrong. That's what my spidey senses tell me.
Well, and Bosma's been around for a while, right? Coached the Penguins, coached the Sabres. He's been in Coachella Valley the last couple of years. He's certainly a capable head coach.
So and did we'll we get some happens. Breaking news on the television front with him
yeah,
as well?
Yeah, so that's the other news. And again, not a huge surprise because Root is just, you know, as I said, I don't know whether Root's going to exist in a year. But the Kraken have left Root Sports. They are going to be on free TV next year. They signed with Tegna. So that's King and Kong. And also sounds like their games will be available in Washington, Oregon, Idaho.
And Alaska.
And Alaska, excuse me.
Take care of my
people
up
Amazon Prime. So a couple different ways to see the Kraken for free next year. All right. Coming up, Brock, it's mock season. Today was the day. The final mocks all dropped within the last 24 hours. Some good, some bad, and one insane. That's next on Brock and Salk.
You're listening to Brock and Salk.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports app.
On my running warm-up mix, more trying to get you pumped for the big race later. The big race. Yes, that's coming up later today. The big race.
More, I think you should just use REM songs for bumper music the rest of the day.
No, yeah. Be depressed. Nobody wants to.
I did notice
that
Justin Barnes thing. Didn't vote on the little hype video yesterday.
No, he
was doing the film.
Yeah, I voted.
He was in there.
Did? Oh, he did?
He took Maura?
Oh, he took more? Oh.
I mean, it just
kind of took me earlier.
It kind of felt like the right thing to do.
Oh, you just wanted to follow the crowd since everybody else took more.
Kyle Brown was the lone son.
Yeah, 10-1. It was 10-1.
Well, Kyle's our boss. He's going to look pretty smart later
Brock
today.
Brock wasn't in there. I've gotten the I keep getting the feeling when Brock talks to me, like he thinks Salk's going to beat me.
Yeah.
Who said that?
Brock
yeah, Brock wasn't here, so he wasn't around. Yeah.
The big race.
Oh, the big race. Yes,
that'll be later today. That'll be later today. All right. Before the big race, I have the good, the very good, and the ugly. There's no bad here. I have the good, the very good, and the ugly.
Wow, you printed out 3 different mocks?
Justin did this for me, which is very nice of him. All right, these are some final mocks. You ready? Here's the good. Albert Breer, his one and only mock. At number 16, the Seahawks select Jared Verse, edge player from Florida. He writes, this could be Penix if he slides down past the Raiders, but Ryan Grubb would know him. I'd look for an interior offensive lineman or defensive piece fitting Mike McDonald's Ravens-style scheme. Iowa's do everything defensive back Cooper DeJean would be one logical pick. That Verse, who has a Terrell Suggs-type playing style, would be another. So he goes with Verse. Good. Yes. That'd be good.
Yep.
Could anybody reasonably complain if they get Jared Verse, the 16 pick?
I don't think so. The only complaint would be, well, hold on just a second, man. Like, the amount of balance and out of whackness on that defensive edge commitment would be really high.
Yeah.
But from Uchenna's contract to Derek Hall's second-round pick to Boye Mafe's second-round pick to Jared Verse's first-round pick. Like, hey, man, this is how these things start to get a little bit
out of whack. Those guys have a total of one alternate Pro Bowl appearance among them at a huge key position. So I could not reasonably be upset. I'd be pretty psyched.
I mean, you could poo-poo that. I'm just saying. Like, that's
that. You could poo-poo it. You couldn't be upset about it.
I wouldn't think so.
Matt Miller, our guy, Matt, who's, I think, going to join us next week, as at number 16, the Seahawks select Troy Fautano, tackle guard out of Washington. He says they'll beef up the trenches. There's no better option for them at 16 than Fautano. This would reunite him with Ryan Grubb. Played left tackle in college. He has the tools to be an all-pro guard. That's where he'd start, allowing Abraham Lucas to stay at tackle. Both of Seattle's starting guards from last season left in free agency.
Yeah, this is where I think as much as any, I've said before, this is intriguing. I would add, you know, the most intriguing, and I would add, because of a Seahawk perspective, of all of the movement ahead of them. This one just, I cannot remember a draft class with this many tackles, this many quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. So when you get that mix of just bona fide difference-making big people and then super equipped and talented quarterbacks, I mean, 5-6 tackles, 5-6 QBs go, and then look at the position that you are in. You know, and there's going to be a defensive player sprinkled in there, certainly, or maybe a couple of them. But you are just, it's such a pivotal. I use the analogy of a halibut. And I'm, you know, here, and I can't wait to get up to Alaska with Captain Tom. And I'm serious, halibut, love. And the more I listen to these guys talk about the draft is the same way. It's like a halibut ground. Okay, like, where is that ledge? Where is that cliff? Where is it that we've got to get our guys all right here? The halibut are here. They're not going to be there. They all live here. They all sit here. They all wait for the food to fall off this ledge. This is where we got to get them, because, or a pinnacle. This is where we got to get them, because if we don't get them here, we've lost.
And Mel Kiper has the Seahawks also selecting Fautano at number 16. Mel's a big fit guy. It's so funny. He's so into need, even though the teams all say they're not into need, which is fine. I'm not crushing him for it, but he does say Fautano is an ideal fit if he makes it to this pick, started 28 games at left tackle, but I see a higher ceiling for him if he moves inside.
Are need and fit
the
same? Are need and fit the same?
Well, yeah, he's well, yes.
Yes.
Yeah. He also it uses.
Certainly is a need for them, and he certainly fits with them.
I mean, he also says Seahawks traded away their second round selection, which means they don't have the luxury of waiting to fill their biggest hole. So I would call that need.
Which would be
fit.
Which would be
guard.
In, yeah, interior offensive line.
Interior offensive line. Okay, sure. So put Mel in the good category with Troy Fautano. I'll put this, I guess, in the good category. We haven't talked a lot about him. Maybe we will at 9. According to Pro Football Focus and their analyst draft, Seahawks would get number 16, Dallas Turner, edge player out of Alabama.
I was just listening to him last night on the old NFL Network. They were interviewing him, and just a mature dude. I was saying to Uncle Damon last night, like, look how different this draft is. Mm. Even from 5 years ago, 10 years ago, certainly when, you know, last century when I was drafted in 99, these dudes have all gotten paid.
Yeah.
You know, one of the questions that they had for him was, well, what have you done with your NIL money? I'm like, whoa, that's a pretty bold question. Like, oh, I've diversified, you know, like, I mean, these guys have already made a bunch of money.
I've bought property. I've done this.
That's
done
right.
That. Yeah, absolutely.
So today is still a gigantic day. And if you're a first round pick, it is more than they've made in their NIL, but it is just then piling onto the cash.
So their mock looks a lot more different than some of the others. And maybe it's because it's not done by one person. And there may
this
be some value to that.
This is PFF, right?
PFF. Yes. Yeah. So theirs goes Caleb Williams, Drake May, Jaden Daniels, Marvin Harrison, Malik Nabers, Rome Odunze, Joe Alt, Latu at 8 to Atlanta. Then J.J. McCarthy to the Raiders, Brock Bowers to the Jets, Terrion Arnold the corner, Penix to the Patriots in a trade back, and then Brian Thomas Jr., wide receiver, whose name has not come up in, as a top 15 pick a lot, Fuaga the tackle, Quinion Mitchell the cornerback, and then Turner would be available along with a whole bunch of other guys if the Seahawks want. In this scenario at 16, they would have their option of Turner, Fautano,
Verse,
Fashanu, Verse, Newton.
Murphy.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of guys. Mm-hmm. Chop Robinson mm-hmm. that we've talked about. So that is another possibility for them. I saw another Pro Football Focus draft where they traded back and got Chop Robinson, which mm-hmm. I know is something you would like, Brock. Mm-hmm. I'd put that in the good category. Here's what I would put in the very good category.
Oh, very good.
Peach Drager. Seahawks. Trade back from number 16 to number 22 mm-hmm. with the Eagles.
Okay.
At 16, the Eagles take the corner Arnold. At 22, the Seahawks select Troy Faltano.
Oof. Yes.
That'd be pretty good, right?
Yeah. What is that saying about from your lips to God's ears or
right.
something like that?
You would like that.
Yeah, I would.
That would be the very good,
that
right?
That would be extraordinary.
Well, yes. Field Yates has it going exactly the same way.
Wow.
Field Yates, put him in the very good category. At number 22, the Seahawks select Troy Faltano after trading with the Eagles. Following the trade down, Seattle could address its most pressing offensive need with a familiar face.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone seems to like the whole idea of Faltano, who was a star at Washington, yep. now playing for Ryan Grubb. Yep. So there you go. His footwork, he says, is the best of any lineman in this class.
I would agree with that. Does that let you know what the – is that it for a third, another third? Does that get you into the second, six spots?
I don't have what it would be. I don't know. I don't know if that gets you into the second or not.
I'll tell you this as well, like just some more – digging and talking and thinking, there's going to be, and I've said this for 2 months, a lot of good dudes in the second round. And I can't go back. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to have it both ways, as Bob Stelton says, because when they traded for Leonard Williams and had to give up a second round pick, great.
Well, you can still be bummed about it now, though.
You can, but at that time, like, that's what you've got to do. You've got to do what you got to do to get Leonard here, and then ultimately they extended him, and he took a little bit of a discount to stick around here, which is all great. Mm-hmm. But, man, there's going to be some good players in the second round.
And then we get to the ugly.
Okay.
And I you're going to have to help me here because honestly.
So we just went from good to very good to ugly.
Yes.
We forgot bad.
There is no bad.
There's no bad.
I haven't seen a bad one.
So we're
I mean,
good,
I don't even
good
know
ugly.
What bad would be.
Uh-huh.
Right? I mean, like, there's so many good options potentially available for them. You know, they could. There's so many players. Byron Murphy could be available for them. That would be cool. I certainly couldn't get upset about that.
Yep.
I couldn't get upset about. A quarterback, right? I'd be excited. Everybody, I think, would be if you draft a quarterback at number 16.
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about Jared Verse. We've talked about Faltano. Maybe they like one of these other tackles. There's a couple of them, right?
Yep.
Fuaga.
Yeah, we're going to talk about them in nine. So
okay.
a
so
bunch of these guys that I didn't get to in my top 20 that you've seen either mocked or around them or names. I'm going to try to give you kind of a 1 to 2 minute little hit on them.
You've mentioned Chop Robinson a few times. In
yes.
fact, 2 days ago. And mm-hmm. if they were to trade back and get Chop Robinson, like, okay, well, that would be pretty exciting. He seems like another player that would really fit what they're trying to do and
yep.
the violence up front and all
mm-hmm.
that. So, like, there's a lot of ways that this can go. And then there's your guy, Daniel Jeremiah.
Yeah.
And you know how much I love DJ.
Yeah.
One of my favorites.
Okay.
Like a really brilliant
dude. I'm a Paul Schefter right here.
I'm
a Paul Schefter.
You're going
to
have to.
What do you want me to text him?
Right no, now? I don't want you to text him.
On the air.
I want
what do you want me to
understand.
Text him?
I want
Justin,
to,
Maura,
no,
what do you want me to text
I thought
him?
You were going to interrupt him and read a text that you just got from somebody.
You're going to pull a Schefter. Well, here's what I think. They could go with a tackle, but also, too, it might be a guard. And they may decide to go defense. Now, I have been hearing that there's some offense, but I don't really know. I mean, I'm not an expert. I'm just a guy telling you what I'm hearing.
What did DJ do?
DJ has them taking a cornerback at the number 16 pick. Brock, I'll riot. I don't care how good Terrion Arnold is. If they draft him with Byron Murphy, Amarius Mims, Jerzon Newton, Chop Robinson, Graham Barton, Jared Verse, Laiatu Latu, all available,
mm-hmm.
they decide that they would rather have a corner, I'm out. That's not bad. That's ugly. You don't need another corner. You don't need another wide receiver. And if you take another one of those guys
uh-huh.
with a top 17 pick,
yeah.
that's absurd.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be a hard one for me. A, because I've never profiled any of these corners for
because
that.
They should not draft another corner in the first round.
Do they need another corner? What if Mike McDonald came in here? Let me just play a little devil's advocate. Okay.
You're going to have to.
Let me just play a little devil's advocate.
Please do.
And what did Dominic say about Schneider? Great listener, right? Great people skills, great listener. And they start to work through their roster. And remember, the staff didn't even go. They didn't even go out to Indianapolis with John and some of the personnel people. They stayed back at home putting their plan together. Part of that is, man, we got to really know our personnel. We got to know our roster. We got to really learn them so then we can learn what we need to do scheme-wise. And when we looked at our roster – John, And Dominic said the same thing the other day, by the way, and we didn't make much of it. But Dominic's like, man, they got a big need in the secondary. And we're like, what? I mean, you got Woolen, you got, you know, Thriller, you got Spoon. Do you really have a big need? These other teams don't have a second starting corner. A lot of them even on their roster right now. Philly, Detroit, like they have a big need. Well, I mean, you heard that from Dominic, and he kind of dropped that in there. And I don't think, you know, Daniel Jeremiah just puts that out for nothing. What if the staff said to him, John, I know you're going to hate this. I know Salk's going to crawl up a wall. I know it's going to put further fuel in his tank for that race today. But, Johnny, like, our biggest need is this secondary. Like, I'm not buying what we have. I don't have what I need. I need this. What if the staff said that to him? You still?
To get a new staff. Better answer, then address that at another point in the draft, okay. Not at number 16.
Okay.
If you want to address that, I'm not against the idea that they have still needs in their secondary. Of course that could be true. I mean, like, the new staff may have a completely different view.
New staff could look at the edges and go, I kind of like a lot of these edges. New staff go, I kind of like these D tackles. You know what? I like these linebackers you
brought in. But they're going to look at it and say, we really like this offensive line?
I like these safeties you brought in.
Brock, they're going to look at it and say, we really like this offensive line? No. They're not going to do that.
Well, the defensive guys don't necessarily always talk to the offensive guys, so you get it independent.
They're not going to look at it and say, you know what we really have everything that we need here is an offensive line.
Actually, Scott Huff would be like, these dudes are a lot better than anything I've ever seen in college.
I mean, maybe, but I hope he has, you know, the ability to then look at them compared to the rest of the NFL and say, you got a problem here at the offensive line.
Yes.
I'm not saying you can't draft a corner in this draft.
Yes.
You can. But the idea of drafting one at the number 16 pick is ridiculous.
It comes down to our old-fashioned market supply, right? It's just supply and demand, supply and demand. There is a lot of supply of good corners. Great corners, elite corners, maybe not. Maybe it's Kool-Aid and Terrion and Quinion, and maybe there's a big cliff after that.
And hold on. I got to answer this text. DJ's final mock showed the path where the only player left at 16 that was top tier is a cornerback. No. That's not true. I'm looking at it right now. You're telling me you'd rather have a cornerback than Byron Murphy? No. False. Absolutely not. You're telling me you'd rather have a cornerback than Chop Robinson and trade backs in it? No. Absolutely not. Than Jared Verse? Absolutely not. No way. No. Nay. Never.
Move
no.
This man!
Just no. So he doesn't have him taking a wide receiver.
So Murphy and Verse on DJ's?
Are both available.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
come on, man. They're both available in that spot.
Mm.
You can't do that. Mm. You can't do it.
I love how fired up you get at this point. All of this buildup, it's like a boil. And then you get to day of, hours before, and
just
splatter.
Let me also be very clear. I've never watched one of those players play.
Which is crazy. That's the part that is most confounding.
Because, Justin, if you watch, you can only drive yourself crazy.
Yeah, but
don't watch them.
Have admitted how this is the most fascinating positions in sports, for it to be the GM or to be control of a roster and the construction.
You don't want to watch those guys. It'll only mess up your head. You'll see what they look like in college. It'll only mess you up. What you want to think about is value. You want to think about the type of player. You want to think about your own team and how you want to build it. And if you think building your team with another little guy is the best way to achieve your stated goal of being physical, you're nuts.
Why is it always about judging their little guy?
Why is
it always about judging their bodies with you?
That is enough. All of you, play Brock's music.
This is
always about little people.
We take you to the field as Brock Huard breaks down three football questions as
he's
only
got fat
he
ankles.
Can.
Now will you stop judging them for
Brock
everything?
Brock Huard and Mike Saul.
I'm sorry. I egged that on. I'm sorry.
Question number one. Salk, you're wasting valuable energy. You have to save that energy for the big race.
I did see.
Oh, the big race.
I did see Maura nodding along.
The big race.
Like, oh, the big race. Oh, the big race. Yes.
Yeah, keep antagonizing him. Yes.
Maura's like, keep it going, Salk. Keep
Brock,
it going. This is good. This is your best radio ever. Keep it going.
So we're
going
to talk to Dave Wyman.
Uh-huh.
And that reminds me. 2010, was that the Jim Maura draft?
I think wasn't 10 Pete and John's.
Oh, okay.
I meant Pete and John's first draft.
Oh, okay. Because I was reminded of Dave Wyman and I hosting the draft show when they took Aaron Curry.
Yeah.
And Dave was so excited.
That was 09.
We were all excited.
2010 was Okung Earl.
Yes. Oh, okay. Yeah. So what does this draft have in common with that first Pete Carroll, John Schneider?
We got to remind ourselves. We just kind of bury this and take it for granted. But we got to remind ourselves how fruitful those first 2-3 years were with Pete and John. And you cannot minimize the fact The Pete, many members of that staff, had an institutional knowledge on the collegiate landscape different than their peers. Not a lot of college coaches go up to the NFL. Not a lot of these guys, right? They stay in their lane. And especially in those years, like, man, I'm getting paid big in college. I'm going to stay in college. Well, now college is so hairy and is so unlevel and it's so frustrating that you are seeing guys make the jump to the NFL level. But this staff got a lot of guys, linebacker coach, special teams coach, offensive coordinator, O-line coach, that have been institutional collegiate coaches. And the background that they have on these players, Salk, is going to be vastly different than many of these organizations that don't. And that should be an advantage. If chasing edges is not about the edge of the line of scrimmage, it's really about chasing margins and any little inch of leverage you can gain, well, you've got an opportunity here over these couple years. You know, these guys know not just them in college, Salk. They know them as high school kids. They know where their families. They know their background. They know their DNA. They know how they compete. They know all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. And that, I hope, like it did in 2010 and 2011, should show up in significant positive ways for your Seattle Seahawks.
All right, question number two.
You weren't really buying that.
No, I buy it.
No, you weren't really
buying it. I buy it. What minicamp's been going on, voluntary minicamp so far this week? What are we learning about the players?
Man, they love this scheme. That's the early little tidbit and little feedback. It's like, man, we're getting to do a lot of stuff. We're getting to do, you know, we're not just showing our cards. We're not just out here lining up. We're not just offensively and defensively, you know. We're not just showing some tendencies here. We're going to actually be equipped to do a lot of diverse things. And now the key is, we talk about it all the time, make it complex for others and simple for yourself. So that will be the real key moving forward. But there is an excitement of, man, we're going to be used in a lot of different ways. And we can do that instead of just, you know, kind of lining up and getting to our landmarks. And that's a great way of playing ball. And every time I do this, I feel like I'm denigrating Pete's 14 years. And I do not want to do that, because I watched it with Tony Dungy win a Super Bowl. I watched it with the Miami Dolphins play elite defense. Like, if you got dudes and you got personnel that are better than the other side and they're all bought in, guess what you can do? Keep it pretty simple. You deal with us. But as that started to erode and you don't have that kind of personnel, then you've got to adapt and you got to do more and you got to confuse and complicate and make things challenging on the other side of the ball and your opponent, and they're going to be doing a whole bunch more of that.
All right, question number three. I mean, I think this should be a pretty easy question, but who was the first Husky selected tonight?
Rome.
Right.
But... You're seeing some serious hype for Penix.
Yes, you should.
New York Giants have been all over Michael Penix. And I knew that, and I've known that for the last couple months. Brian Daboll is an interesting guy out there in New York, the head coach. I don't think he will be afraid to be like, yeah, we were wrong on Daniel. So what do you want us to do? You want us to not fail fast? You want us to keep going down this road? So he took us to the playoffs. We decided to reward him and give him $100 million guaranteed or whatever ridiculous amount of money. But if we go down that road and we do... We know where that leads. Look at what San Francisco did. Trey Lance isn't our guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's not our guy. So let's move on and go in a different direction. And New York has been and probably studied him as much as anybody in this league. So I say Rome, but then what if New York Giants just say, forget that, man. Number six, he's sitting on the board for us. We don't have to trade up. We don't have to trade down. He's our guy. Go get him. So I think it's a little bit closer than it was 2 weeks ago, than it was a month ago, than it was at the combine. Then it was certainly Rome Odunze at number five, at number six, at number seven. I don't know. I think these teams will screw around a little bit, might mess around, might even take Malik Nabers ahead of Rome Odunze, which to me would be criminal, but could happen because they get mesmerized by just the pure physical speed. But don't be surprised if Penix somehow, some way, gets drafted ahead of Rome tonight.
All right, there you go. That is today's Blue 88. By the way, 509 has the info on the Field Yates proposed trade with the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
In this deal, Eagles would get 16 and 81. So that's your third round pick, right? Right. In exchange for 22 and 50.
Ooh. 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 So then now you have no thirds. You have like three fourths if you want to come back into the third.
You have 2/4.
Yeah, so you can come back. Yeah, No third, though.
No third, 2/4.
Oof.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
That makes it a little hard.
Too. 22 and 50, though. But, you, I mean, 50, in man. His scenario, you're getting Troy Faltano, and could it be Michael Powers Johnson with number 50 or something like that? I mean, like, think about what you could do to completely change your offensive line. What if you were to do that? and your offensive line next year included those two guys. Now all of a sudden your offensive line is from left to right, Cross, number 10 pick, right? Or number 9 pick, rather.
Lakin Tomlinson or Faltano.
Let's say it's Faltano at left guard. Michael Powers-Johnson at center, who I know you like a lot out of Oregon. Right guard is a competition between Lakin Tomlinson, Anthony Bradford, and whoever else you find on the street. Maybe, whoever.
And then Fenton Lucas, a right tackle. That's different.
That's a completely different offense, at least on paper. I mean, you don't know what the rookies are going to work out. But at least on paper, that's an offensive line that's going to be a problem to deal with.
Yeah, and you give a young coaching staff young pieces to to mold.
Yeah.
You're talking about young there, too, still. In a good way, like young and athletic and, and a chance to grow together in a way that we've not seen an O-line do since my years, right? Since Walt and Hutch and Gray and that crew and Robbie in the middle of it, Locklear, those guys played year after year after year and kind of all grew up in the thing together to take them to a Super Bowl. So,
253 says, I asked for the day off for this race. What? Why?
Yeah, come on down.
What are you going to do?
Come on down.
Which it's not being live streamed anywhere, so I don't know what you're. I mean, enjoy your day off.
Can we invite? Can we invite? We can invite people, right?
It's going to be Justin. Here's my question. You've been doing the negotiating with the University of Washington.
I sent a list of names.
Here's my question.
Okay.
Given the terrible weather, is there any chance we can move this inside?
Oh my gosh!
Is there any way we can do this inside rather than outside?
Nope.
I don't think so.
Why?
No. There's too many emails, too many people involved at this point for me to just try to call an audible here.
You realize the FAA is involved.
Two professional racers. Right?
We got insurance. We got liability. You know, we got ambulances. We got the FAA. We got a lot of stuff going on.
Plus, houses for you to puke in.
Yes. Actual track season, so they may have like real runners.
All the better. All the better. Think about how we can inspire those guys. They'll see us running. And so did I say Michael Powers-Johnson? I'm sorry. It's Jackson, right? I got Michael Johnson on the mind. Sorry. I'm just thinking about 200-meter sprinters.
True.
And since he is the GOAT, you don't even know more, but I also reached out to his people to see if I could get him on. I emailed like his company or whatever it is to see if he would come on to offer some advice.
Wow.
He's the GOAT, man. What can I tell you? 206 says, I keep envisioning Salk as Seth Rogen when he couldn't catch Michael Cera in Superbad. Yeah, all right. If that's the way you think of me.
He's a freak. He's a fast killer.
All right. I don't think that's going to be me.
He's
I appreciate your thoughts.
The race is on.
The race is going to be on later today. All right, coming up after the race, rather, will be the draft. I don't know which people are more interested in. I'd say it's probably 50-50 across the nation.
Hard to
tell.
But
Maura's got some draft rumors buy and sell for us, Brock. We'll do it next on Brock and Salk.